Hi, it's Wireless Mike, and I'm with...
Co-talker, good morning.
And you're in the last little bit of my last bit of time here on the morning pre-flight.
I can't believe it's coming to an end already.
Because I have to break camp later today and head back to the real world on the outside.
I don't envy you. I'm really not looking forward to packing up again.
But for just a few minutes longer, we're talking with Michael and Michelle Combs, who are engaged in the flight of the human flight for the human spirit, traveling to all 50 states in a light sport aircraft in the middle part of 2010. So, Michael, we were talking about the kind of reception that you have gotten as you have flown a light sport aircraft to over 100 airports. I met up with you in April on flight day 9. And when we were talking then, I asked you what kind of reception you were getting from the FBOs when you would come in on this unbelievable project in a little airplane, in a light sport aircraft. And this is what you said.
I've had a lot of FBOs who, of course, have never seen a light sport, or they've entertained the idea, you know, one or the other, they've entertained the idea, but have discounted it until they've seen this airplane. And I've had some serious conversations with some who have said, you know, what have you found for maintenance, and what have you found for operating costs? And because, you know, I'm road testing an airplane like it's never been done before, you know, and so everybody's watching just to see how durable these little planes are. And it's cool. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, we have those FBOs who are very old school and would never, I mean, honestly, I didn't feel welcome at some places, believe it or not. Where they knew we were coming. We had maybe a handshake when I got out of the plane, but that was it. And it's very interesting, just the difference in thoughts out there. But you know what? Aviation is changing. It has to change. I had a gentleman in Maine who came up to me, and he said, you know what you are, Mike? He says, you're a barnstormer. And I hadn't thought about that before, but he said, you know, the only difference between you and the barnstormers of...
Oh, was that the end of it?
Okay.
Well, I just fill in the blank. Yeah.
So that was Michael Combs in April on flight day 9 of the Flight for the Human Spirit. And so other than the fellow in Maine who's who we may never know what he actually said about you, what else have you found then? What's happened since then as you've gone to dozens more airports?
It's been very similar. We've had some very warm receptions, and others that haven't been. And I'm talking specifically about from airports or FBOs. You know, the fans are consistent, but sometimes they just... I'm not sure where the attention is placed sometimes at some of these airports. And it's interesting because we've gone to 100 different airports. We're becoming authorities on what it should,
hospitality.
What you hope to experience as an aviator, any aviator flying into an airport.
So still a wide variety of perspectives on what where light sport kind of fits into the mix.
Yeah, it was interesting. I was giving a talk to an FBO, actually, and his employees in Orlando, Florida, and they have one of the best operations I've ever seen.
That was Showalter.
For FBOs. Yeah, Showalter Aviation. And it was interesting because I said, okay, just yesterday when I was flying in, we received one of the coldest receptions ever, and they told me exactly where I was. So it's not like it was surprising to anybody else, but we're living in a time where we want aviation to grow. And it's been interesting to further my thoughts from Indianapolis, where people still don't know what a light sport aircraft is.
Yeah, I'm living that one.
Yeah, you definitely
I am.
Are.
Because for me, light sport's probably the answer, but from a consumer's point of view, the market's not quite developed there yet as it has in some other places.
No.
We've had some FBOs, though. We had one that baked us a cake. We got there, and they had a cake with our logo on the top. That was in Minot, North Dakota. We had the Showalter, who had on the sidewalk in front of the entrance to their FBO, they had drawn our logo in
neat.
Chalk on,
cool.
on the ground. And we had another one bake a cake in the shape of a 3D globe.
Oh,
it was,
neat.
We've just had some really fun things.
And you've shown up in communities where people have bought your fuel, right? I mean that's happened a bunch of times, right?
Yeah, the FBOs oftentimes just contribute because they really believe in what we're doing and really appreciate that. You know, sometimes they just, I think they bump up the price, but there are others that
wow.
have been wildly generous, and we have had fans call in and buy our gas when we're there, which is an honor as well.
You've had fans put you up in hotels
yeah.
a bunch of times?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And we've had hotels just contribute to the project as well and give us room, as a sponsor, sponsoring our night there in the town. It's been great.
A lot of generosity poured in your direction.
You know, I think when people hear that this is a grassroots project that started with literally nothing. I mean, I was laid off of my job when I started this project. After I had announced the project, I was laid off.
And, eat your words.
You know, we're not multimillionaires just tooling around the country looking cool. We're trying to reach 20 million people to encourage them that it's never too late to follow your dreams. And you know what's cool? We've reached, with this grassroots project, officially, we've reached 2,138,000 people.
Wow. It's amazing when you really think about it.
Yeah.
It's a huge scope there. You know, you talked about having the dream that you wanted to fly, and I too have that dream, but I stop and how do you go from I have the dream to fly to this idea? I mean, this is pretty grandiose when you get to it. I mean,
I keep telling him that.
And not only that, but you know, you come up with this idea. So how did this idea come up? How did you manage to realize it? And most importantly, how did you go to Michelle and say, "Oh, by the way, I'd like you to get your license because I might not be able to right now based on my health." I mean, I can imagine, I can only imagine trying to present that one to her.
You know, when I was down and out, I was literally down and out. And she, bless her heart, she was willing to do anything at that point. Just because we didn't know if I was going to be around the next day. And I don't want to sound dramatic there, but that's literally where it was. I was on, my chair just dropped. I was on oxygen every day. I mean, I was in pretty sad shape.
I volunteered to fly.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't have to convince me. I volunteered. If
yeah,
that was what it
she just jumped
would
right
take.
In there and said, "I'll get my license."
When he announced
like that.
This project, that's when it was a little different.
Yeah. Because obviously I'm well.
Mm-hmm.
But really, this project... And, you know, I don't mean to get too spiritual here, but I really feel that this has been a calling because as I was recovering, I had all of these thoughts coming and going in my mind, and this one just would not go away, that I was going to fly an airplane into all 50 states. Believe me, this is not my dream. My dream was never to fly a plane into all 50 states. I wanted to see all 50 states, but... Personally, I prefer to drive into all 50 states so you can stay a while and you don't have to worry about the weather.
Quick stop,
you know? Exactly. When you look at how all of this has fallen together in such an amazing way, I can't argue with the results of what we're seeing here.
But the same token, you know, yes, it's nice to drive to these states, but if you stop and you think about it, you're seeing the country as probably no one else has or ever will see again, just based on, you know, unique flight paths and whatnot, and from the, you know, even those that do manage to replicate similar ideas may never see exactly what you see again.
That's exactly
so
right. And now that this project is going and I'm flying over all of this amazing topography and seeing these amazing people in these amazing cities, it's the only way to go by air. It's the only way to go.
I'm quite envious, and I've been following you since early on, and it's really amazing. Speaking of which, I want to get a plug-in for your website and for you have a Facebook fan page, I believe, as well. I believe it's just Flight for the Human Spirit on Facebook. You can search for it, and you'll find the profile
That's
page.
Exactly right.
And the website is... I don't want to screw this up.
Yeah,
so
www.flighths.com.
And I would encourage anybody listening to go check it out. It's really... a pretty amazing site. The map in particular is really fun to just watch as the points go green. And
yeah, no kidding. Everybody knows those changing.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly where you are. And like, oh, hey, there's a green one. I must have missed something. I got to go back and read. So.
And now have you looked at our Flickr photo map, too?
I have. I have. That is very
cool.
That's a place I still want to go.
She's got thousands of photos.
Yeah, there's over 5,000.
So just so you know, I'm on the Watch and Interact page over here. and there is a fan, you're now reaching England. There's a fan from England listening to you right now who's written in and said, "Hey, I'm hearing."
Well, and if our buddy that we got the email from this morning is listening, you may be reaching Antarctica.
That's so cool.
I hadn't heard from Palmer's Antarctica yet, so that would be a thrill.
Neither had we until last night. We had an email sent over from EA from the manager of Oshkosh 365, where someone had posted that they were listening from Palmer Station, which is the U.S. base on Antarctica. So.
Fantastic.
Which also has an airport, by the way. So
yeah, I was going to say.
Maybe that can be your next trip.
Yeah, there we go.
I want to go pole to pole.
Yeah, obviously we're not going to be finished flying with 50 states.
I can't imagine you would.
Wow, what a great story. Michael and Michelle Combs, thanks so much for coming in today.
Thank you so much for having us.
And now you're going to be speaking some more or available for folks who are attending AirVenture this week. Talk about where they can meet you and when.
It's cool. We've got the airplane. Hope One is set up in the Learn to Fly booth.
It's the real plane.
It is the real plane. Yesterday, ooh, people kept asking me, well, where is the real plane? They thought this was a replica. And others were like, yeah, I've seen this airplane so many times online, I just can't believe I'm looking at it. So come over. And Michelle's goal is to give out 435 hugs through AirVenture. And likewise, I am speaking four more times.
Wow, that's great. And before we go, there was a point you wanted me to not let you forget.
Oh, yeah.
What was that one?
It's the funniest thing. I had an EAA chapter member come up to me yesterday, and he says, you know what? We're starting a pool, or we have started a pool on how far we thought you would get. And I said, well, where is
what?
He says at the beginning of each one of our meetings.
People are so positive.
We pull up at the beginning of each one of our meetings, we pull up your map to see how far you are. And he says, money changes hands right there. I said, well, I said, where was most of the money? He said, most of us didn't think you'd make it past New England.
Oh, my goodness.
So I said, when I come and speak, someone owes me a dollar.
That's great.
I think you should get in on that pool.
I know. No kidding.
Well, thanks so much again for coming in. You're listening to EAA Radio.